being the third Sunday in June has been set aside in our country as Father's Day. I understand that the idea of Father's Day began in the early 1900s in Spokane, Washington. A woman by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd wanted a special day to honor her father, William Smart. William Smart, a Civil War veteran, was widowed when his wife died in childbirth with their sixth child. Mr. Smart was left alone to raise the newborn and his other five children. Sonora wanted her father to know how special he was to her. Sonora's father was born in June, so she chose to hold the first Father's Day celebration on June 19, 1910. In 1924, President Calvin Coolidge supported the idea of a National Father's Day. And in 1966, President Lyndon Johnson signed a presidential proclamation declaring the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. What is Dad? There's a poem by that title. What is a dad? A dad is a person who is loving and kind, and often he knows what you have on your mind. He's someone who listens, suggests, and defends. A dad can be one of your very best friends. He's proud of your triumphs for when things go wrong. A dad can be patient and helpful and strong. In all that you do, a dad's love plays a part. There's always a place for him deep in your heart. And each year that passes, you're even more glad, more grateful and proud just to call him your dad. Thank you, Dad, for listening and caring, for giving and sharing, but especially for just being you. A dad has also been expressed this way. God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of the eagle's flight, the joy of a morning and spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of a family need. Then God combined these qualities where there was nothing more to add. He knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad. One wrote of my dad, at 4 years old, my daddy can do anything. At five, my daddy knows a whole lot. At the age of six, my dad is smarter than your dad. At eight, my dad doesn't know exactly everything. 10, in the olden days when my dad grew up, things were sure different. 12, oh, well, naturally, Dad doesn't know anything about that. He is too old to remember his childhood. 14, don't pay attention to my dad. He's so old-fashioned. 21, Dad, he's hopelessly out of date. 25, Dad knows about it, but then he should. He's been around so long. 30, maybe we should ask Dad what he thinks. After all, he's had a lot of experience. 35, I'm not doing a thing until I talk to Dad. 40, I wonder how Dad would have handled it. 50, I'd give anything if Dad were here now so I could talk this over with him. You know, the scriptures teach us to honor Father. That was pointed out in the good scripture reading a few moments ago in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, when Paul said, children, obey your parents, the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. In his letter to the Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 20, he said, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. This is not just a New Testament principle, but it reaches back much farther than that. In the giving of the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 12, God spake these words, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In chapter 21 and verse 15, he said, he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And in verse 17 of chapter 21, he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. As well, in the book of Leviticus, Notice these words in chapter 19 and in verse 3. Moses said, "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father." And then in chapter 20 and in verse 9, "For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him." In the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moses, we have a repetition of the things that were stated to an early generation. In chapter 5 and in verse 16, it is said, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 21, about a man who would have a stubborn and rebellious son, as recorded in Deuteronomy 21, beginning in verse 18. "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which would not obey the voice of his father, or the voice of his mother, that when they have chastened him, he would not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." What was to be done under those circumstances? When a man had a stubborn and rebellious son who would not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. The Bible reports in answer to that in verse 21, "All the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." If you heard of a father who had a son who was put to death because of disobedience, then that would probably cause you to think more about respect for your father and to be obedient to the voice of your mother. As well, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, and in verse 20, notice this wisdom literature records, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Over in chapter 30 and in verse 11, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." What kind of generation are we? In verse 17, it is said, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." That's Proverbs 30, verse 17. Then as you come to the New Testament again, notice with me a statement made in the book of Matthew in chapter 15, beginning in verse 4, when the Jerusalem scribes and Pharisees were accused by Jesus of transgressing the commandments of God by their tradition. He said, "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the dead." We saw where God commanded that. But ye say, they're saying something in opposition and direct contradiction to what God commanded. Here's what they said. "Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honored on his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus the Lord said, You have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." They were saying there are some circumstances where you really don't have to honor your mother or your father. You are exempt from that. Jesus set the record straight, didn't he? And then in Matthew 19 and in verse 19, when the rich young ruler came inquiring, "Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" The Lord referred him to the commandments, which included honor thy father and thy mother. Matthew 19 and in verse 19. And so father deserves our honor and our appreciation, doesn't he? As the Bible upholds that principle throughout the Old and New Testament. He deserves our honor and appreciation, if for no other reason than simply the fact that he is our father. As you think about appreciating Dad on this Father's Day, how about appreciating Dad's sayings? I've often heard individuals say, "I remember my dad saying," or "Here's something my dad told me." Maybe it'd be a good exercise to take out a sheet of paper today and just jot down some things you remember your dad having told you throughout the years. Dad's favorite sayings might include, go ask your mother. Just wait until I get you home. When I was your age, now I'm not going to tell you again, I love you, son. As you think about appreciating Dad's sayings from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, and in verse 9, think about this ancient father saying to his son. It's when David gave Solomon, his son, charge. He said, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. It'd be hard to improve upon those sayings from that ancient father David to his son Solomon. Proverbs often speaks of a father's sayings. Let me call a few to our attention. Beginning in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, he said, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. That's wisdom. As his sayings continue, he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straight. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Then turn to chapter 6, beginning in verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. In chapter 10 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Chapter 13 and verse 1 says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Chapter 15 and verse 5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. And then finally, as you think about Dad's sayings and how Proverbs often speaks of a father's sayings, in chapter 23 and in verse 22, the Bible says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. What's our attitude toward our father's sayings? But not only do we appreciate Dad's sayings, but we appreciate Dad's example. You ever watch a little boy try to walk in his daddy's footsteps? The father's example is so important, isn't it? As children are great imitators, children often follow in our footsteps, good or bad. When you go back to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, and in verse 3, the Bible says that Solomon loved the Lord, listen, walking in the statutes of David his father. Whereas in 2 Kings, chapter 21, verses 19 through 21, we read of Ammon, who is said to have done evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. He walked in all the way that his father walked in and served the idols that his father served and worshiped them. And so, would we walk in the statues, or would we walk in a way that is evil? How would we walk? There's a little poem entitled, Walk a Little Plainer, Daddy. The poem says, Walk a little plainer, Daddy, said the little boy so frail. I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they are hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I'm tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I'm grown up, you're like I want to be, then I will have a little boy who will want to follow me. And I want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you. And then a poem entitled, A Little Girl Follows Me. A little girl follows me, I dare not go astray. For fear she'll go the selfsame way. Not once can I escape her eyes. Whate'er she sees me do, she tries. Like me, she says she's going to be that little girl who follows me. About not only appreciating Dad's sayings and Dad's example, but appreciating Dad's training. Child training and correction is the role of the father. That's not to say that the mother has none, for she does. But much responsibility for child training and correction rests upon the shoulders of fathers. In Ephesians 6 and verse 4, Paul said to your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is written in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. That suggests that there is a way he should go and a way he should not go. And then it is said, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Writing to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul reminded them of his labor among them and how that he operated among them as a father. Listen to these words. As you know how he exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. That's 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. The book of Hebrews also talks about the correction of fathers. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 9, the question is asked, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I expect no book says more about child rearing and child training than the book of Proverbs. Notice a few statements along that line in Proverbs chapter 13, beginning in verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 19 and verse 18, chasten thy son while there is hope. That would imply that there could be a time and a day when there is no hope. So while there is hope, chasten thy son, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Don't wait till it's too late. Chapter 22 and verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. 23, beginning in verse 13, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. In Proverbs 29 and verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. Then verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. That's what the Bible, the Word of God, has to say about child rearing and child training. You thought about Eli lately, the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2 and in verse 22. The Bible says Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. In chapter 3 and verse 13, the Lord said, "And I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vows, and he restrained them not." And so Eli goes down in history as a father who failed to give proper restraint unto his sons. As fathers, we are potters, if you will, with our children like clay in our hands to become what we make of them. There's a poem that says, "I took a piece of plastic clay and gently fashioned it one day, and as my fingers pressed it still, it bent and yielded to my will. I came again when days were past, the bit of clay was hard at last. The form I gave it still it bore, and I could change it nevermore. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day, and fashioned with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone, it was a man I looked upon. He still that impress bore, and I could change it nevermore." It's been said, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. But then finally, as you think about appreciating Dad on this Father's Day, how about we spend a little time appreciating our Heavenly Father? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6 that there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. It's in this Father that we do live and move and have our being, Acts 17 and then verse 28. And I want you to think about some qualities of our Heavenly Father. First of all, our Heavenly Father is a Father who has pity. In Psalm 103 and in verse 13, listen to these words. "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." He has pity. That is, he has mercy. He has compassion. And that's what we need, isn't it? But also, he is merciful. Notice this statement in the book of Luke chapter 6 and in verse 36. When Jesus said, "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." There may be some who say, "You know, my father wasn't very merciful." But you can have a father today who is merciful. You can have a father that shows mercy like you've never ever experienced. The mercy of God. Where would we be without God's mercy? Some fathers may not be very righteous, may not always do right, may not always be right. But God is righteous. In John chapter 17 and in verse 25, notice the Bible says, as Jesus petitioned the Heavenly Father, he referred to him as, "O righteous Father." O righteous Father. He is a gift-giving Father as well. In the book of James chapter 1, James taught about every good and every perfect gift that cometh down from above in James 1 and in verse 17. And he is a loving Father. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 1, the Apostle John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." There is a sense in which all of us have God as our Father, and that we are the offspring of God, that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, that he put the man asleep and took a rib from his side and made a woman. And so God is our Father in that physical sense, that he is our Creator. But there is a special sense in which God can be your Father today. You can be a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote about that in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. When he said, "You're the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." When you have God as your heavenly Father, as your spiritual Father, as a child of His, you then become an heir of God, as the book of Romans chapter 8 and then verse 17 says, "If children, then heirs." And you stand in line to inherit the future blessings of God in the form of inheritance. Described in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 4, as an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. To become a child of God by faith starts with hearing His word. God said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Matthew 17 and verse 5. Hearts are purified by faith. It is commanded of all men everywhere to repent. We must make that confession of faith that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. We then become a part of God's spiritual family, the church. And we can call upon Him as our Father. We have that blessing of knowing, 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, that His eyes are over us and His ears are open unto us. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And then to strive to be faithful all the days that we have remaining. As the Lord said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." Revelation 2 and then verse 10. If you're not a child of God, what are you waiting for? Why not become God's spiritual child today by faith? If you become a child of God, but you've not been what you need to be, you need to make correction in your life through repentance, confession, and prayer. We stand ready and willing to assist you in that. Won't you come now as we stand to sing the song?